because it is Tony's birthday weekend and we want to celebrate all things Tony, it only seems appropriate that one of the things that is the most Tony is his brilliant technical mind and engineering skills and all of the amazing stuff that he builds. And we as a fandom adore Tony's output. We love Jarvis, we love Dummy and You and Butterfingers. And we love the arc reactor. There's, and the armor. There's definitely armor kink fic out there, which I heartily encourage you to explore. And some arc reactor kink too. There's some like coming on the arc reactor and the light of the arc reactor. I mean, I have a huge arc reactor kink. I love it. So I kind of wanted to just like, I guess this is mostly a let's talk, but it's got a little bit of creator corner edge to it too, because I think having a little bit of an understanding about how some of Tony's tech works in a broad sense makes it easier to write that stuff into stories. And I will say that one of the hardest parts of writing Tony for me and for a lot of other people I've talked to, I don't know if you experience this too, Flame, is making him smart enough, because the whole point is that Tony is smarter than all of us could ever be. So to write something that reflects that genius while knowing that you are not that smart it's a challenge. And it's this line between showing the things that he understands without either confusing your readers or putting so much research time into it, which I admit some people may love, I do not, but so much time into that you never actually managed to get the fic done. So yeah,
this is one of the benefits of writing AUs. I just don't have to.
Yeah,
like I can make him really smart in a lot of other ways, or I can make it like, you know, I can, if I want to make him Tony Stark of Stark Industries, like I can have other people talk about how incredible he is. I do that one a lot.
Yeah, have him framed by outsider perspective.
Yeah, because no, and I don't understand science or technology, and I don't want to. So I don't gravitate towards fics where it goes into a whole lot of detail about the tech, just because it's not my language and it's not something I feel comfortable talking about, even if I did a bunch of research. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my answer is always just AU. Yeah. I just cheat that way.
Yeah, I can't help thinking about celestial navigation and Tony's, you know, astronomy and space science knowledge and how Saber manages to put in enough understanding from Tony that readers go, oh, wow, he's smart and he knows things that the average bear doesn't know and he knows things that I don't know, while still making it, even though it's Tony's POV, which makes it even harder because he gets this stuff. You know, if it's Steve's POV, it could be like, and then Tony talked about stars for a while and I didn't get it.
Yeah.
But to be able to work that in, and I know she did a lot of research for that. So yeah, it's a lot. It's a big thing. He's a hard character to write in that way. If you want to give examples to show how smart he is. And that's another, like we have talked about show don't tell in this before. And two of the ways that we can show how smart Tony is to have him be smart in application, show him doing a smart thing or show him talking about a smart thing or have other characters comment on how smart he is or experience his genius in a way that like they can't follow what he's saying or, you know, all these different kinds of ways. But I also just fucking love his technology. So like I get really excited about the details of how this stuff works, not necessarily even to write it, but just because I think that it's fun. And I don't think that we can talk about Tony's tech without talking about Jarvis and just the concept of artificial intelligence and how it's used in the movie and how it's used in real life, because I think some people probably don't have a real grasp on how much artificial intelligence we are already interacting with all the time, and that, you know, our smartphones are employing lots of different versions of artificial intelligence. And there are learning algorithms, which are basically just programs that are able to take the input that they receive and alter their output, not in a one-to-one relationship, but in a growing learning way. So for instance, Google's ad system watches the stuff that you click on and the stuff that you like and the websites you spend time on. And it uses all of that information to determine the ads that it thinks that you will be most likely to click on. And then when you click on those ads, it learns from that and improves the way that the algorithm works. That's a real broad strokes explanation, but we see Jarvis as like the ultimate learning algorithm because all of the input that he gets, he turns into improved output in the future. And we don't even like, we're coming in, Tony's in his late 30s, early 40s. I think he's 39 when it starts, if I'm remembering correctly, in Iron Man 1. And Jarvis is already very advanced at that point, but we can imagine the Jarvis that Tony built, you know, when he was 20 or whatever, and the process of developing Jay into what he becomes at the end. And really his capacity for learning is one of the things that makes him astounding and better than any AI in that sense that we currently have now. But as a linguist, the thing that hits me the most is his natural language processing. So Tony is able, so that means that Jarvis can listen to Tony speak as humans speak to each other and figure out what it is he's asking for. So you might, if you've ever used a bot on Discord, you know that you have to do like the little symbol, like maybe a slash or a dot or hashtag, and then a command. And that's going to get the result that you want. So for instance, in the pot server, there's a command. I think it's like hashtag love gun or something that makes a picture pop up where Steve's got the gun from Avengers 1, but it's shooting all these hearts instead of bullets. So if you just said, and that bot's name is, I think that bot's name is Jarvis. And so if you say, if you just type, hey, Jarvis, give me the love gun picture, the bot's not going to do anything because you had to tell it hashtag love gun, which is an exact command that it has in its programming somewhere. But natural language processing means that artificial intelligences can see you say, hey, give me the love gun picture, and they can process what it is you're asking for. Even if the next day you said, can I see the love gun picture? Both of those times, they will give you the love gun picture if they have that kind of advanced natural language processing. If you have an Alexa or a Google Home in your house, then there's a lot of that developing and improving. And like that kind of interaction that you have with your home device is leaning heavily on natural language processing. But you also know that if you've ever had a fight with your Google Home or your Alexa, you know that there's a lot of specificity and structure that has to be in place. You can't talk to your Google Home the same way that you talk to your sister and get the same results. So Jarvis is the most advanced we can see in natural language processing, and that Tony can say any number of formulations and Jarvis can process it as effectively as humans can process it. And language is like, I mean, here's why I became a linguist. This is like, it's really fucking cool. So I think if you want to, I think that like in terms of writing, if you want to talk about Jarvis, these are the things that make him special and why is this comic books and not real life, because he has jumped ahead of several steps of the kinds of things that computational linguists and computer scientists and software architects are all working to develop to work towards something that can be so natural and so effective at learning and so natural in its language processing that it's indistinguishable from a human. And that's what we get with Jarvis. And I think that that's part of why we love him so much, because he seems like a real person and then later becomes a real person. But yeah, and like the flip side is we like Dummy so much because he lacks all of that. And I love that you can see that Tony started out with like the very physical side of robotics, and the artificial intelligence that Dummy has is presumably, especially in the beginning, very basic. And he has some sort of networking capacity with Jarvis, where Jarvis processes, does the natural language processing, and then relays that in the language that Dummy's going to understand to get him to do commands. At least that's how I have always interpreted it. I don't know if other people think that Dummy has his own natural language processing centers, but that's a decision you can make. I don't think there's anything in canon that would tell us which way that goes. Anyway, I could talk about that all day. Flame's already napping.
I am eagerly learning uh-huh. and paying attention.
Taking notes.
When I need to write this kind of stuff, I either hand wave it or ask you questions. It's like when you need cocktails, you come to me. When I need tech stuff, I go to you.
Yeah. So that's like the AI side of things, Tony's brilliance. And like one of the things that makes Tony that much more brilliant is that he's at immense capacity in multiple fields, because with AI, even what he's able to build on his own takes a team IRL. So he's touching on a whole bunch of fields already just by making Jarvis. But then when we move into the arc reactor, there's mechanical and electrical engineering that goes into that, as well as like nuclear physics. So if we add up just the arc reactor and Jarvis, both of which we have no reason to believe he didn't build alone, he's just destroying in some of the most challenging and complicated fields that intersect all on his own in multiple ways. And that's just crazy. And that's why like we can say he's a comic book character, because we'd be hard pressed to find a real person who really can do all of those things. I know there's a lot of comparisons to Elon Musk, but Elon Musk doesn't do all of these things by himself. So arc reactor, I fucking love it. And I think that like on a side note, since we are talking about Tony this episode, the beauty of the arc reactor, why Tony fans love the arc reactor so much, is it's that like built-in visible weakness that he's overcome. Like, I don't, Flame, do you have an arc reactor thing?
Do I have an arc reactor thing? Yeah, I think I do. I think I really like, because for me, it's also a continued vulnerability. So it's, he's overcome it, but it's also continued. And I love that it's the middle finger to everybody else that Obi was wrong. Yeah. And that he's not just this, because even like when you were saying Elon Musk, my immediate thought was like, well, Elon Musk has the social skills of a teaspoon from everything we can see. Whereas Tony is Tony. Like, so not only does he have all of these things, but he also has the human component, which is missing from a lot of, I mean, research shows missing from a lot of super geniuses.
Yeah.
That the ability to process mechanical engineering and human emotions are like in often different parts of the brain, hashtag Sheldon Cooper. So, you know, it's like, he is a comic book character. He is out there. I love the arc reactor. I also love writing my AUs without the arc reactor, but still giving him a heart issue.
Yeah.
And my dad has a defibrillator implanted, and we jokingly call it his arc reactor.
Yeah.
Because it keeps him alive. Yeah. And if anywhere we are in the world, if something's wrong with his heart, it texts his doctor. And then his doctor knows if he's not well before we do. To me, that's like miraculous medical technology, and it's nothing compared to what I can write in a fic.
Yeah. And that's like, that is another like point that I kind of wanted to touch on earlier, was just that like, we're already living with a lot of this stuff. Like, some of this is comic book science. Like, this is an extrapolation of what we can do. And like, it's not unreasonable to think that we'll get to these points. Like, this is based in real science. It's not magic.
Yeah. Which is one of the reasons I'm drawn to Marvel versus some of the other fandoms that I've been in longevity, because I like the, I don't remember who said it. I have Tony saying it in my fic, but it's a quote from somebody else. That's magic is just science we haven't proven yet.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about science. That's not like technology and science and everything. It's just magic we haven't proven yet. And, or we don't have data on yet or whatever. And so yeah. That's why I like playing with Tony along those ways, because it exists. A lot of this exists. It just doesn't, I should be clear. My dad's defibrillator does not glow.
Bummer.
just to let everybody know. But we still, it's a little bump above his skin. Like it's not completely hidden. And so we can still see it when he wears, you know, when he wears his business suits, like you can see his arc reactor there. That's there keeping him alive. Should tell you a lot about my family and our company that the whole company knows I call it that, but that's, I digress. the 12 Marvel Funko dolls probably didn't give it away. But I think it's a beautiful reminder too of the reason a lot of us love Tony and gravitate towards Marvel fandom in general is that it tends to not be full of superhumans or aliens, Steve and Bucky notwithstanding. It's Sam and it's Tony and it's Pepper and it's people with potentially not supernatural abilities who make supernatural decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. And like stand beside those who do have supernatural abilities and keep up with them. Like,
yeah.
And we can do that. So, so I love the arc reactor. So I've been like, I've studied it a lot and like tried to determine how it works and like what canon tells us about the arc reactor. So I thought I would pass on some of what I know. So first of all, straight up what the arc reactor is, if we go back to Iron Man 1, Tony gets hit with the shrapnel. He's got tiny, tiny pieces of metal that are embedded so far in his body that they're in his bloodstream and in his muscle tissue. And Yinsen performs the emergency surgery and he's not able to get all of the shrapnel out of Tony's chest. And so there's this idea that the natural movement of Tony's body, the blood flow, muscle contractions, all of that kind of thing, are going to push these pieces of shrapnel through his bloodstream and into his heart, where they'll do irreparable damage to the muscles of his heart and prevent it from working. So unlike Flame's dad, a defibrillator isn't going to solve the problem because his heart is going to be destroyed if the shrapnel keeps going. And Yinsen mentions that it's like, they call it like the walking dead or whatever. If people get hit with those tiny bits of shrapnel and they survive from the blast, they die later because that shrapnel is slowly working its way through their body and they don't even know. So what Yinsen does is he builds an electromagnet, a straight up, it's a battery and it's a coil to make an electromagnet. So all it is a very powerful magnet that keeps the shrapnel from moving any further because it's trapped in the field from the magnet. So when we see Tony with the original, the OG, not arc reactor, but unit in his chest, and it's hooked up to the car battery, that is why it's literally just a magnet. So the problem that he had to solve wasn't how do I build a device that keeps my heart pumping or, you know, restarts it if it stops, like the defibrillator, or, you know, a pacemaker that keeps it pumping at a particular rate. That's not Tony's problem. He solved the problem of the shrapnel. He needs a magnet that's powerful enough to keep the shrapnel from moving. The problem is he's walking around with a giant car battery to power that magnet. So what the arc reactor itself, we call the whole unit an arc reactor, but it's actually an electromagnet that is powered by the arc reactor. And that makes up the whole unit that sits in his chest. So there have been, I'm going to link to an article that I really love that's about, it's a theory about how the fusion works in the arc reactor to make electricity basically that powers the magnet. And I think it's super cool. And there's very little, like, not even magic, but there's very little science we don't know yet that needs to be assumed in order to explain what's happening. And I love that. It shows that people really gave it some, either the designers gave it some thought or it's just luck that it works that way. But basically, There's the theory by this person who, like I said, I'll link to, is that there's two isotopes of palladium that are involved, and one emits high energy electrons as it decays, and the other one is accelerated to high velocity on the outside of the arc reactor, and the electrons escape the core and are directed by magnetic fields into the outer ring, and that the lack of electrons creates a net positive charge in the core. You can read the thing if you want, like, the full breakdown. But I think the thing that matters most to us is that the isotopes of palladium, as they decay in real life, they produce an isotope of silver, but also, love this, an isotope of rhodium. And so we get a little incidental rhodi reference there. And those two heavy metals are likely what causes Tony's palladium. They call it palladium poisoning in the show, but it actually makes sense that if instead what it is that the decay of the palladium, which they show when they take the arc reactor out, and you can see the core has expired, it's actually turned into a mix of rhodium and silver. And if you know anything about heavy metal toxicity, it's some of it is largely unknown. It's not like a world of medical science that's hugely advanced. There are definitely some heavy metals we don't know what kind of what kind of impact it would have on people if they had regular exposure. So Tony being exposed to rhodium like that could absolutely cause symptoms of heavy metal toxicity, that the blood tester he does is testing how much of his bloodstream is you know, been affected by this. And the symptoms, like he would feel really shitty, he'd be tired, like we don't even really know what the symptoms of rhodium poisoning might be, but that's why as he burns through these cores he's damaging his body. And I believe silver, but possibly also rhodium, both dye the skin blue, so that might be why we're seeing those, the like train tracks, the little digital kind of lines that come out, the road rash, is that what he called it? And the blue light, this person postulates, could be from Cherenkov radiation, which is like, I'm not going to go into that, but there's a reason why this kind of reaction inside the arc reactor might produce that blue light as well. And also, incidentally, also goes into why it wouldn't be hot to the touch, because you'd think if you had a tiny nuclear reactor in your chest, it would just burn you up. But again, I could talk about that for years, but I'll leave the nuclear physics to people who are interested in that. But at the end of the day, the idea is that the arc reactor isn't just like a magic button. It's definitely based in science, and there are people who have broken down that science. And if you want to get into it and you want to think about how it would affect him and what kinds of outcomes various arc reactor interactions or changes or damages could have, I think reading about this stuff can be really helpful for that. But if you understand how it works, it also raises some questions that Marvel doesn't do a great job of answering. And the big one is there are two instances where Tony's arc reactor malfunctions in some way pre having the shrapnel removed. And it's not entirely clear why he has the reaction that he has. So the first time when Obi takes the arc reactor, we could posit the little like paralyzer thing that Obi uses in Tony's ear. We could posit that Tony's extreme negative reaction and how he had to crawl down and he's all sweaty and gross when Rhodey finds him, perhaps that was all a side effect of the paralyzer. But when Pepper is fixing his chest and she pulls the thing out and he says he's gonna go into cardiac arrest, and then also when in Endgame, when we've got Avengers 1, Tony and Ant-Man pops a fuse or something on the arc reactor. I can't remember how they like explain what he's doing, but he temporarily dismantles the arc reactor in some way. Tony has a heart attack then too. And I'm left with the question, if the entire point of the arc reactor is not, in fact, that it's a pacemaker that manages the beats of his heart, but that it's a just a power source for an electromagnet that keeps the shrapnel from moving into his heart, then why is it that the second the arc reactor turns off, he has a heart attack?
Well,
I've done some research into it.
Go ahead, because I'm curious.
I've done some research into it to see if anyone comes up with an idea. And I've seen that the one that I like best, the only one that I think makes sense to me, is that because of the nature of the reaction that's happening in the arc reactor, having it suddenly disabled in some way, like, leaves a surge that essentially he's now electrocuted himself, and so his heart stops. The scene with Pepper pulling it out and him being like, I'm going to go into cardiac arrest, doesn't really jive with that. But there's also changes between Iron Man 1, where she does that, 2? I don't remember.
1, because I never rewatched 2. So
okay, it's in so 1, where she does that, and then the chronologically Avengers 1, when he has the heart attack, when they're taking Loki out of the tower.
Mm-hmm.
There, he does make changes in the middle there. He changes it to vibranium before Avengers 1, right?
I mean, in my mind, yeah. He just continually fiddles with it always.
Yeah, yeah. I think the change to, or not vibranium, but the change to badassium, the other element that doesn't actually get a canon name, but there's like a, I can't remember where, it was either an interview or word of God or something that he calls it badassium. But the element that he invents with his, from his father's like help or whatever, that solves the decay problem. Like, we can just assume that the new element is essentially the same as palladium, but when it decays, it's a lot less toxic. It decays a lot slower, et cetera, et cetera. So that
the only thing
in between.
The thing that I would say about like cardiac arrest is that, so for people who don't know, your heart has an electrical system and a blood system. So there's two, like when people have heart problems, they either have plumbing problems or electricity problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's entirely, so what my father went into tachycardia, which is essentially that the electrical system malfunctioned. And there's a lot of different reasons why that can happen. Irregular heartbeat, a surge of something, a stroke. Like, there's a lot of ways that you can go into ventricular tachycardia. And so I, even before my dad's accident, that's what I assumed Tony's thing was that Obi's thing just rewrote the electrical system in his body for a little bit. And that the other things too, were that there was some sort of hand wavy elemental reaction, because the human body is not actually meant to have foreign elements in it. And so in that way, so anything to do with the electricity would make the most sense to me. Just from my personal experience of living with somebody with an arc reactor.
Yeah, I think that's why I like the electrical explanation better than any kind of plumbing explanation, because the whole point is that, like Yinsen says straight up, you're the walking dead for a week. The shrapnel moves slowly and then it will kill you.
Yeah.
And it will kill you suddenly when it does kill you. And that's like, it is ripped, once it's ripped through your heart, like that's not it's not going to give you cardiac arrest. You get defibrillated, you come back, and now your heart's totally fine and the damage is reversed. That's not how that works. So the reason he has a heart attack sort of has to be an incidental electrical issue caused by the arc reactor itself suddenly turning off, instead of a direct result of the shrapnel that's in his body. So if you want extra hurt comfort, then essentially Tony has made himself dependent on, to some degree, a pacemaker, because at that point in the story, before the shrapnel gets removed and he like revamps everything, because disrupting the arc reactor, it is now tied to the electrical systems in his body, and a sudden surge of electricity can easily stop the heart. So he's basically hooked himself up to an extremely unpredictable, he's essentially got the opposite of a defibrillator in his chest. He has a machine where if it suffers an electrical surge because of damage or because of, you know, him getting shocked or whatever, or what have you, or sudden stop, that was sudden unexpected stop, can actually use the same method that a defibrillator uses to start the heart, to stop the heart.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is too, what we know about the human body constantly evolves as well, which is what's fun about this and how we understand how hearts work and how we understand how bodies work. But I love the idea that he essentially has a car battery within him. And that's often how I like that. That's all he did. He took what Yinsen did for him, made it tiny and shoved it in his chest.
Yeah. And that's essentially exactly what happened.
Exactly what he did. And so I love the hurt comfort of that. I love that are canon centric, that Iron Man 1 talks about how it's really hard for him to breathe because it would be, because he's moved his lungs around. Like, I like that kind of like chasing the rabbit hole of what are the physical and emotional ramifications of the arc reactor.
Yeah. It's a big medical thing and nobody has experience with it. And I think that obviously from an outside perspective, the reason he has a heart attack is because it's dramatic and people like watching him suffer. So and then in Endgame, because they needed a distraction. So from a writer perspective, they threw that in there knowing that they didn't really have to explain it, because most people aren't going to think about why the arc reactor works with that much detail, that they'd be like, wait a minute, you know, obviously Reddit thinks about that a lot, but like the average person is just going to be like, oh yeah, he's got a pacemaker and they fucked with it. And now he's having a heart attack. But it's nice that we can come up with semi-reasonable medical explanations for why it happened as well, because we're fic writers and we like that kind of thing.
Yeah. I love fandom.
Me too. Anyway, I think I've nattered on for 6 million years, but at the end of the day, the point is Tony Stark is brilliant and awesome. And if you're interested, because you can totally write whatever the fuck you want without caring whether it's either medically or technically accurate, but if you're interested, there's actually like a lot out there of people who are in these fields who are interested and come up with explanations and come up with, you know, answers for these kinds of questions. And for me, reading about how it works fuels, you know, I have solved plot holes in stories of mine that I was suffering with by reading about the technology and going, oh, like that gives me an idea for how I could make that play out. So that's my vibe.
Obviously, if you have a vibe about the Arc Reactor or Jarvis or Dummy or you, or you want to try to convince Ferret that Butterfingers exists in canon, we are always open to chatter about Tony's tech, and it is one of the best ways to celebrate his birthday. So happy birthday, Anthony Edward Stark, you magnificent genius.